Well, it is an encouragement to be here again this morning, the congregation here. Trust that the Lord will inspire these words to your heart, each one of you. I'm challenged today with the verse in the 4th chapter of Proverbs in the 26th verse. It says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Ponder the path of thy feet. Give deep consideration to the way that you're going. And use what you learn to better and more rightly establish your ways, because there's going to be an end. There's an end to all that we do, isn't there? The Scripture said that we're the temple of God, didn't it? Know ye not that you're the temple of God? And so it's going to mean something for us to give close consideration to how we present our bodies to the Lord and how we present ourselves, because I want to have a temple that the Lord is willing to abide in. And my thoughts and my actions, they mean something.
Yes, they do.
They do. And they're directional. They take me somewhere. And they typically mean something more than just the individual thought and the individual action. You remember in the garden when the Lord came down after Adam and Eve had taken of the forbidden fruit, the Lord, He had to look around for them. Well, He knew where they were. They were hiding, and they knew they were naked. And the Lord was, He was like, "Why are you hiding? How did you know that you were naked?" It wasn't so much that they were naked, because they always had been. It wasn't that they were behind a particular bush. It was, "Why are you where you are right now? What's the meaning behind all of that?" And so that's the thought that I have this morning, is that we would ponder and give close consideration to the path that we're taking, because it's taking us somewhere. And I'd like to start this morning by going back to a verse that we read the last time we were here in the book of Jonah. We won't read everything around this verse because we've gone over that and you know the story. But in the book of Jonah, you remember that what happened was Jonah was running away from the responsibility that God had given him.
Yes.
And he went and he looked for, found a boat that was heading in a different direction than he should have been going, to Tarshish. And he got on that boat, but the Lord was coming after him. He didn't just let Jonah go. The Lord was, wherever Jonah was, God could be there too. You can't run away from the Lord. And Jonah was down in the boat, if you remember. And the Scripture said that the Lord sent a great wind and a tempest so that the ship was like to be broken, and the mariners were afraid. And they were up there calling on their gods, and they were trying to save themselves and save the boat. And where was Jonah? He was down in the bottom of the boat sleeping. And it said that the shipmaster came to him, in the 6th verse, and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" And I'd first like to say, you know, I don't want to be asleep to the consequences of my own actions. I want to be challenged that I not put myself in a place where I go to sleep and I'm sleeping while everyone else is having to deal with what I have just done. I don't want to be asleep to it. And the shipmaster came along, and in the midst of the storm, when everyone's trying to save their lives, Jonah is down there in the boat not reacting to the situation that he created. And the shipmaster came down there and didn't have a whole lot of time to have a lengthy conversation about why he was down there sleeping, because they were trying to save their lives. But he did take time to say, "What does this mean? What does this mean? We're all up here calling on our gods. this ship is going to crash here, it looks like, here pretty quick. It's going to be turned over. Our lives are at stake, and you're down here sleeping. What does this mean? Maybe his sense of justice was just a little bit offended. His sense of reality. Here's the reality. Here's what you're doing, and something doesn't quite tally out. You're down here. What do you mean by this? What is it that all of this means? Well, it meant something.
Yes, it did.
And it meant more than, well, I was just taking a nap.
Yes, it did.
It meant more than that. You know, it's a little humorous sometimes and a bit challenging when our children get old enough to recognize that there are reasons behind situations and they start asking why. Well, it's humorous sometimes when it's other people's children, but it is a responsibility and a challenge when it's our own.
Yes.
That's when children learn.
Yes.
Dad, why is it cold outside? Well, the weather changes, and when the weather changes, it gets cold outside. Well, why does the weather change? Well, the weather changes because sometimes throughout the course of the year, the earth gets further away from the sun, and the temperatures go down. Well, Dad, why does the earth get further away from the sun? Well, God decided that it would be good for us to have seasons. Well, what is a season? You see, and these questions can go on and on and on. Lots of whys. But that's how they learn. And I wonder this morning if it would be better if we as adults could better maintain that inquisitive nature and the intellectual honesty to ask ourselves the question of ourselves, why, Rod, do you do that? Why are you acting this way? Why is it that you think like this? I wonder sometimes if we would do that in life, we might be better off. See, Jonah could have answered the shipmaster, as we often do, what does this mean? Well, I was just taking a nap in the bottom of the ship. Well, he knew that already. He already knew he was sleeping. He already knew he was on a ship. And then his next response could have been, well, there's no sin in taking a nap in the ship. There's nothing wrong with taking a nap. There's nothing wrong with being on a ship. No sin in that, is there? Have you ever heard those sorts of comments? You know, we can have those sorts of discussions with ourselves. The Holy Spirit can come along and maybe ask us, what does this mean?
Yes, amen.
What does this mean? I was just taking a nap. I know that. I was just on a boat. I know that too. Why are you on the boat? Why are you taking a nap? And you know, the more times you ask yourself why, the closer we get to understanding what the root cause is of whatever it is that we're doing. It wasn't so much about the boat ride and the nap. There was a whole bigger issue, you see, that was involved than Jonah was just taking a nap on a boat that was headed to Tarshish. And there were consequences that were associated with it. And the question that I have for myself and for us today is, do we understand and actively ponder what our own actions and what our own thoughts mean? And where they're taking us? What are some of the decisions in life that might begin to indicate the direction that we're heading? Well, I wrote some of them down. You probably can think of some yourself, but one question that comes to mind is, how do we spend our time? And why? Have you ever asked yourself, why do I spend my time on the things that I spend my time on? Why do I not spend time on some things that I don't spend my time on? See, sometimes that's a default that we don't ask ourselves. It's not just why are we doing what we're doing, but why are we not doing some other things? The things that we go and we look at and we listen to, and the things that we allow in our homes, why? And ponder on it. Do we ponder on these things? Why is it that I do what I do? The things that I talk about, the things that I think about. Why do I do that? You know that it means something? We all have emotions, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And in fact, sometimes we have a pattern of emotions. We don't live, we try not to live by emotions and feelings. But all of us have lives that begin to demonstrate a picture. We have a pattern of our lives. And it's good sometimes to ask ourselves, why do I feel this way when this happens? Why is that? And a lot of times we can have a lot of different responses with a lot of reasons. But you know that we don't always mean what we say. Right? We don't always mean exactly what we say, even to ourselves. You know, we have discussions with ourselves sometimes. And we are quick sometimes to give ourselves the reason why we're doing what we're doing. But it's not always exactly what we mean. And I thought of the instance with Saul and Samuel. You remember the account in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. Saul had been given the instruction to go destroy the Amalekites. Remember? What did the Lord tell Saul to destroy? Just a piece of it? Just a portion of it? How much of it?
All of it.
Did he give him any decision rights around what all meant? Is anybody here not sure what all means? Doesn't all mean all?
It
means everything? But Saul went out there and you know the story. He went out there, and when he was all done with his interaction with the Amalekites, Samuel came the next day, and before Samuel even asked Saul anything, Saul had a response. He had a ready response to give Samuel. Remember what it was?
Yep.
What was it? I've done the will of God.
Yes.
Something like that. That was the meaning of it. I've done what the Lord commanded. Samuel hadn't even asked him a question yet. But Saul was ready to say, I've done just exactly what I was supposed to do. And Samuel's next response was, what does the sound mean? What is the bleating of the sheep that I hear? What does it mean? Well, Saul had a whole lot of reasons that he began to give to try to justify his decision of what all meant. You know, Saul would have been a whole lot better off if he would have had this discussion with himself and with the Holy Spirit earlier on and pondered what it was he was getting ready to do. We can get caught up in the moment sometimes, and we're ready to take action on something, and maybe the Holy Spirit or something triggers a little bit of caution in our minds. Whoa, wait a minute. Saul may have thought, well, these sheep look awfully good. I think I'll take some of them with me. But he should have stopped and thought about, wait a minute, that's not what the Lord commanded. You know what his response probably pretty quickly to himself was, well, hey, I can offer some of these to the Lord. That's a good reason. Wouldn't the Lord be happy with me offering a sacrifice to Him? Should be, right? That's a good thing. But he didn't keep asking himself, but why is the real reason that I'm taking this? And what's the direction? What's the consequences of this? This is different than what the Lord told me to do. And now, because he didn't ponder, it would have been better if he would have taken the sheep, gotten them, even if it was on his land, and then would have gotten back up and said, no, I can't do this. I'm going to reverse course. Folks, destroy the sheep. We were wrong in this. I've thought about it. I've pondered the path that we just took. I've thought about our actions some more. I've continued to ask myself, why am I doing this? Why am I thinking like this? Am I being honest with myself, intellectually honest? Is this really about offering a sacrifice to the Lord? Or is that we want some of these flocks for ourselves? I'm not going there. So folks, let's destroy him. He'd have been better off doing that. But because he didn't ponder, because he didn't think about it long enough or deep enough or care enough about it, and he gave in to his empty justifications and reasons, because of that, now he had to have this same discussion with the prophet.
Yes.
Now it's a lot more serious.
Yes, it is.
You know, the Lord is, he's so good to all of us to come by our way and deal with our hearts in life. Because we do need help. We don't always do everything right. I don't. I hope I'm not the only one in that category. I don't always do things right. And the Lord's so faithful to come along, and instead of saying, you're cut off, I'm not going to let you be one of my children anymore, the Lord is faithful to deal with us if we'll give Him space and if we'll give Him time. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, and if we'll be interested enough in pondering what it is we're doing to make sure that our ways are established, a way that will end in peace. That's God's purpose. He doesn't want any of us to be lost. God wants all of us to come to repentance. God wants all of us to get to the place where we recognize, I'm not going along the right path. The end of this is not good. My motives in this aren't good. I can tell you whatever it is I want to tell you. I can tell you whatever I want to say my reasons are. But they mean my actions mean something. And they don't always mean what it is that I say. There's nothing wrong with sheep. It wasn't a question of there are sheep up there and sheep make noise. It was, why do you have the sheep? And it went beyond, yes, you can use a sheep to offer a sacrifice to God. But that's not what we're talking about. The question is, why do you have the sheep when the Lord's commandment was to do something different? And now Saul has to address this with the prophet. And there's going to come a day, saints, when we're going to have this meeting with God. At the last day. And I don't want him to be in the... I don't want me to be in the place where I have to have the Lord say, Rod, what does this mean? Because I'll be speechless. Remember when the man at the wedding, the Lord came to the man without the wedding garment? Where's your wedding garment? What did the man say? Did he have a lot to say? He didn't have anything to say at that point. And I wonder if maybe he had gone to the wedding many times before without the wedding garment, perhaps, in life. And the Lord dealt with his heart and said, you need to have a wedding garment when you come in here.
Yes,
and maybe many times he pushed that off to the side and didn't ponder the fact that I'm trying to be accepted of the Lord on my own terms. And I've got all of the right reasons that I try to justify why I'm doing what I'm doing. And the Lord's faithful to come along and say, where's your wedding garment? Where's your wedding garment? Rod, why are you doing this? And giving me the opportunity to ponder and to correct my path.
Yes.
And make sure that the decisions that I make get me on an established way that end in peace. But there's going to come a day. And it's not a day of my choosing. I don't get to choose the last time that the Lord says, where's your wedding garment? It's not my... I don't get to choose that. And the Lord doesn't tell me when it's going to be. But one of these days, the Lord will come along and say, where's your wedding garment? And He's asked me that many times before. What will I say when I had all the opportunity to make a change? And there's going to come a day we're going to stand before the Lord, and we've had a lifetime of opportunity to ponder and to think about why I'm living like I'm living. And asking myself, where is this taking me? See, it's not just about the individual action itself. Where is it taking me? There's a verse in Psalms 26 where David, his prayer was, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Psalm 26 and 2. That's quite a prayer to ask the Lord to examine and prove me. That can get deep when we ask the Lord, Lord, what are my motivations? Lord, I know this is my reason for doing this, but Lord, have I deceived myself? Lord, would you help me understand the way that you want me to walk? Lord, will you help me understand what a Christian looks like? What Christian conduct is acceptable for you? Lord, would you examine my heart and my life? You know, I want to have that prayer now, not at the end.
Yes.
I want to have that prayer now so that I can make correction if I need to make correction. Because here's the fact of the matter, the Lord is examining us. He is faithful to do that. He'll do it now. He does. And it's important that I and that you exercise the same diligence to examine yourself, given that God is. God is going to do that.
Yes, yes.
And it takes in a lot. You know, when we truly and we honestly begin to ponder our ways and examine our ways, it begins to take in a whole lot of ground, because so much of the time, what we do isn't just a standalone decision that's all by itself and then things just happen on their own. Things don't just happen all on their own, and it's not just all about one decision or one activity or one thought. A lot of times there's a whole lot more than is going on. In other words, we aren't going to just wake up in Tarshish someday and find ourselves on a boat after having taken a nap.
No.
That isn't how it works. Things don't just happen. Things lead up to that.
Yes.
Our decisions become directional and cumulative, and we find ourselves where we find ourselves because of actions that we take.
Yes.
I can knock this water off the pulpit and then say, oh, there's water on the floor. But the water's on the floor because of an action that I took.
Yes.
And actions that we take, before we take action, there's thoughts that precede our actions and the consequences. And our thoughts are governed by the beliefs that we have. And the beliefs that we have come from things that we are exposed to and come to understand. And then we choose to commit ourselves to certain things in life that we've been exposed to, which then frames our beliefs, which then guides your thoughts, which then guides your actions, and then there's consequences to your actions. See, we don't just wake up someday and I was like, well, how did I get here? We have, most of the time, we have a lot of opportunity to be able to see where we're headed if we'll only ponder what it is that we're doing. Lord, help me understand why I think like I do. Lord, what does this action mean? Examine me, Lord. You see the importance? Do you see the importance of being careful what we expose ourselves to? Because eventually you start committing to things that you consistently put yourself in the presence of. And it starts affecting the way you think. That's why it's so important to put yourself in good company. Read things that are wholesome. Expose yourself to things that are good. People say, well, I know that it's wrong. I can watch these things, and I know there's some things on it that's not right, but I'm able to differentiate what's wrong and what's right, and it doesn't affect me. I want to tell you something. The more we expose ourselves to things that are wrong, it starts to break down some things. We become desensitized to things that the Lord wants us to be very sensitive about. We want to be able to view sin as exceedingly sinful, and it's not, yeah, it's sin. See, the way that that works is you become exposed to something, and exposure breeds familiarity. And familiarity breeds acceptance. Or it breeds tolerance first, most of the time. You become familiar and you start tolerating it. And after a while, sometimes you start accepting things that you're tolerating, and then eventually, sometimes, you begin to participate and partake in it. It's important, saints, what it is that we expose ourselves to. The things that we allow ourselves to be committed to. Because eventually, it starts to frame the way we think. And the thoughts that we have lead to our actions. And there's consequences to our actions. Lord, help me. Help me to understand how You want me to understand myself. Lord, help me to be willing to face myself. You know, that is one of the hardest things to do, is to face yourself. The Scripture is that we ponder our ways. Here's an aside. I'll tell you this. Other people are pondering your way. They are. Other people look at the way your actions are, and they ponder it, don't we? God ponders our ways. Doesn't it make sense that we should too? That we should ask ourselves why enough to the point that we are begin to get to the root of whatever it is. So we read the Scripture, ponder the path of your feet. When I begin to move closer to the world in a particular activity, I can have a whole lot of reasons and justifications for whatever activity it is that I now am doing that I didn't used to do before. But there's a bigger question than that. The question is, why the movement?
Yeah.
What caused you to move in the first place? When we were growing up at home, my dad used to teach us often. He said, you know, there's a difference between whether you're coming or whether you're going. Big difference. You know, people that aren't familiar with the fullness of the knowledge of the truth and they're learning, there may be things in their lives that maybe they're not quite where they should be, but they're moving towards truth. They're learning more and more. They're moving towards and closer to the Lord, and change is taking place, and it's a change that's drawing them closer to the Lord. And maybe they're over here at point B. And maybe you're at point A, maybe a little further down the road, but now you start moving the other way. You say, well, they're doing it. Everybody seems to have confidence in them. Why can't I do that? Well, why the movement? Why the directional movement? You're not. There's a difference between whether you're coming or whether you're going. What's the purpose? What's the meaning behind the change that's taking place? When I have a seemingly endless interest in worldly entertainment or things that appeal to the flesh, and I have such a hard time being able to really become engaged with a church service for an hour. Why? I mean, people can spend a lot of time on a lot of things with their eyes wide open, with a lot of interest. Very interested in it. Can talk for a long time about lots of things. And I'm not trying to be critical, it's just reality. And it's good to ask ourselves, if I have so much interest in these other things, and yet maybe I find that I don't have as much interest in things of the Lord, why? And then be willing to ask ourselves, why? And it's not all about outward things that other people can see. What about you know, responses that I have, loss of patience, or what about a critical spirit? You know, that's an interesting topic. Why are people critical? If I find that I'm quick to criticize other people, why? You know, if it's a pattern in my life where when I see other people, it's my almost my first impression is to figure out what's wrong with them. You know, if that's the case, the reality is that there's probably something more wrong than just with whoever it is you have some kind of a disagreement with. It probably points to the fact that, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. God wants to help us in this life. God isn't wanting us to ponder the way that we're taking so that we can find all the things that are wrong with this so He can sit back and say, now see, that's the reason I don't accept you as one of mine. Because this is what all is wrong with you. Here's why you don't have the victory and why you won't ever have the victory. It's because you finally recognize what your problem is. That's not the intent of the Lord. God, He wants to help us. He wants to help us help ourselves. He wants us to see the need that we have so that He can help us in our need. And yet sometimes that's who we're the most afraid to face is ourselves. Because those can be some really uncomfortable conversations that we have with ourselves when it's about us. Why am I doing this? My motive, however sweet it may look, it's not sweet at all. You know, there's something called passive aggressive. You know, sometimes people can be passive aggressive. In other words, they might be sickeningly sweet, if I can say it that way, and they aren't being sweet at all. You know, tone of their voice is real quiet. It looks like they're just as accommodating as you could ever be, but they're not being accommodating at all. But sometimes people don't. A lot of times people can tell when that's happening. But if they don't, the Lord knows.
Yes, always.
You know, if you'll give yourself a chance to look and inspect, ponder the way that we're going. It's the way of life. God's giving us the opportunity to look inward and to have His Holy Spirit to talk with our hearts so that we can get to the place where we can have an expected end of peace. Psalms 39 and 4 says, Lord, help me to know my end. Lord, help me to know my end. I want to know what my end is. I want to know the path that I'm taking. What's at the end of that path before I get there? I don't want to be falling off the edge of the cliff only then to recognize that there was a cliff and there was no way for me to go backwards. That's not the time to figure it out.
No.
I don't want to learn about it then. I don't want to learn about the fire that I just fell into when I fall into the fire. I want to know there's problems at the end of this road. If I keep going this way, there's going to be consequences to it. And it's not only going to affect me, but it affects other people. Our actions and our behaviors, it affects other people. Jonah's behavior and his actions affected other people. Look at the people on the boat. Look at the folks in Nineveh on the good side of it. We affect other people as much as sometimes we would like to say, well, just don't look at me. Don't watch my life. I just want to live unto myself. You do what you think's right. Don't watch me. That isn't the way that it works. And it's not the way God set it up. God wants us to live our lives so that other people can indeed follow us. He wants us to be an example, not just to the world, but an example to the believers. Are we an example to the believers? When I ponder how I'm living, when I ponder my actions and the pattern of my life, am I able to say, after pondering it, giving it consideration, can I say, Lord, by Your grace, I'm endeavoring to be an example, not just to the world, but of the believers. Do you know, I personally need examples to follow. I need the saints to draw encouragement from. I need other people that I can look to and draw strength from and say, look at brother and sister so-and-so. Look how they acted in that time of difficulty. I want to imitate that. I want to draw strength from that so that when I face that, I can remember that. We need each other, folks. We're dependent on each other. And our thoughts and our actions and our behaviors, they mean something. Lord, help me to understand where it's taking me. Lord, help me to know mine end. And if the path that I'm taking isn't a good path, Lord, help me have the grace to make course changes along the way. I'd like to end with a reminder of the account in the 33rd chapter of Genesis. I read this account this past week. It's a beautiful account. You remember when Jacob and Esau met each other after Jacob had basically taken the birthright of Esau? Do you remember Jacob being really looking forward to meeting Esau? And
yes.
He was on cloud nine and he couldn't wait to have that meeting. No, he was scared. And he probably should have been scared. And then he heard that, hey, Jacob, Esau's coming and he's got 400 men with him. Jacob was not, he was afraid. But when they met each other, Jacob came before Esau with humility and with reverence. He called him my Lord. And with gifts. He had sent gifts ahead. And when they met each other, they cried and they wept. And then Esau had a question. Remember what his question was? He said, what does this mean? What are all these things mean? What do these droves mean, is the word that they use. All the things that Jacob had sent ahead. Esau said, but what meanest all of this? And Jacob had demonstrated humility and reverence and sent gifts ahead. And Esau was looking at all to see it means something.
Yes.
His actions meant something. And in this case, Jacob's honest reply was, that I might find grace in your sight.
Yes.
He meant what he said. He said what he meant. And he had given a lot of thought to it. And that's how I want to come before the Lord this morning.
Yes,
I want to have given a lot of thought,
yes,
to my life.
Yes.
And I want to be able to come before the Lord and say, Lord, by your grace, I'm living my life in this manner because I want to find grace in your sight. Lord, I want to be accepted in your sight. When the Lord comes my way and he says, Rod, what meanest this? And he's talking about my life. I want to be able to have a history where I can say, Lord, I wrestled with the angel. Lord, I was diligent to do everything I could to have you bless me before this final meeting. And Lord, this is my humility and my reverence and a sacrifice in my heart that I'm lifting up to you that, Lord, I want you to accept because I want to find grace in your sight.
Yes, amen.
The decisions that we make in life start to become cumulative. You know, you can put up a 2x4 at the beginning of building a house and someone may come by and they don't really understand what that is going to look like. They see a piece of wood. And you may see a second piece of wood. But when all of those pieces of wood start to line up, it starts to paint a picture of what this house is all about. And sometimes I'm afraid that in life we wait for that big decision to demonstrate who we are. That big opportunity that we're able to say, this is who I am, when in reality, who we are is made up of all of the little decisions that I make every single day.
Yes,
they mean something.
Yes, they do.
And there's an end to it. when I get to the end, I will have built something that we present before the Lord, and He says, what does this mean? And we want to be able to say, Lord, that I may find grace in Your sight. And my prayer this morning is that we would be willing to honestly ponder our ways.
Yes, indeed.
That we would take advantage of the dealings of the Holy Spirit. That when we feel checked in our lives, or when we feel a little bit uncomfortable with something, that we give it some time and some thought. And I want to take it further. Let's not wait until something bad happens to examine the path that we're taking. Let's be proactive. Lord, help me. Am I living like You're pleased with? Lord, let's look at how I've spent my last week. How have I treated my wife over the course of the past few days? Was it right? Were my motives right? Lord, the time that I'm spending, am I giving the time that I ought to give to You? Lord, the movements that I'm making in life, what does the movement mean? Lord, help me to get my eye off the specific thing that maybe I can justify as not sin, but why did I do it? Why did I go there? And I believe that if we'll do that, the Lord will be faithful. And if He finds us short, if we find ourselves short, we serve a merciful God who He would that no man would be lost, but that all would come to repentance. That's the God we serve, a long-suffering God who's there to pick us up if we'll reach up our hand and say, Lord, I have a need.
Yes.
I desire Your prayers for me today that I would be more diligent to ponder my way and my path so that I can have that expected end of peace.
Yes.
My prayer is that the Lord will bless each one that's here today. Amen.